are expecting the president will certainly speak to clean energy and to the role that an assertive transition to a clean energy economy will have in our overall economic recovery. What we're not sure he will speak to and really are urging him to is to speak to the overwhelming threat of global warming, of climate change, which is a very serious threat to this country, to our the welfare of our people, the health of our people, to our economy, to our national security. And it really takes presidential leadership to help the American people understand that global warming is just a major problem that is upon us, and that we have some real choices we can make and some real steps we can take to lessen the harshest impacts of climate change.
Of course, the main avenue by which the president wanted to address climate change was through a comprehensive energy bill, but that didn't happen. But you're saying now the president himself can do something. What are some concrete steps that the president could take on climate?
The Supreme Court several years ago ruled that global warming pollutants are, in fact, covered under the Clean Air Act. And as such, the Environmental Protection Agency, under President Obama's overall leadership, has the not only the right, the authority, but the obligation, according to the Supreme Court, to, in fact, develop rules that will lead us as a nation to reduce our global warming pollution. And so that's given that we were unable to convince the Congress to develop comprehensive climate and energy legislation and get it to the president's desk in the last Congress, the action now shifts to EPA. It's unfortunately, a number of folks in the Congress are working to block that authority.
And one of those is Wyoming Republican Senator John Barrasso, who says he'll introduce a bill. What would that bill do?
Well, my understanding is it would block, sort of handcuff the EPA from actually developing rules to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, which, you know, if any other threat to this country, if we knew that, China's military forces were massing at our border, or if your local law enforcement said that your child was in danger because of predators in your neighborhood, we would spring to action, and we wouldn't put our head in the sand and tell the U.S. military or tell our local police force that, oh, no, you can't take any preventative steps. And in this case, the timing is crucial. Scientists believe we have a very narrow window to really reduce our emissions from every sector, every source, and to give us a fighting chance to stabilize our climate.
We're speaking with Kevin Knobloch, president of the Union of Concerned Scientists. You mentioned that greenhouse gases need to be reduced and that scientists tell us that they need to be reduced. Give us an idea of how much they need to be reduced and how quickly.
The best sense, I think, in the climate science community is that we have to reduce our global warming emissions by at least 80% below today's levels by the year 2050. And probably much further. So you can tell from that statistic that is extremely ambitious. But the exciting news is not only do we have the science in hand to understand our impacts in a way that we didn't 50 or 100 years ago, we have the technology in hand to be much more efficient, which is really how it's really burning less fossil fuels is really the way to reduce our global warming emissions. And the other part of the exciting news is that the steps we will take to do that will make us our economy more resilient and robust. It will make our national security better by cutting down on importing oil from countries that don't like us or are downright hostile to us and could shut our supplies off. It will improve human health. There's a lot of good that will come from making our appliances, our heating cooling systems, our vehicles, our buildings and factories far more efficient. And it'll put money in our pockets. You know, we'll save money when we fill up our pumps. We'll, over the long term, save money on our utility bills. And those dollars will be available, as in the case of Floridians, to spend in your state economy as opposed to now sending them out of state and out of country.
And finally, Kevin Knobloch, I'd like to ask you about a story that's breaking today. The Associated Press is reporting that their sources say that Carol Browner will step down as Obama's chief advisor on energy and climate, and there's speculation that that might be because of the administration's failure to pass this comprehensive energy bill. Do you see this as a positive step or possibly hindering future energy policy?
I think it's unclear what this means. Carol Browner, of course, was a very seasoned person. She was had been the longest-serving administrator of the EPA during the Clinton years, when she was hired by the president to be the climate and energy czar. She did some fine things, you know, the national vehicle standard that the president negotiated with the auto companies in Detroit that will increase the average fuel economy of the American vehicle fleet by 10 miles per gallon between now and 2016. Very powerful step that actually is helping to rejuvenate the domestic auto companies. And she's done some other important things. But it is true that on her watch, we were unable to inspire the Congress to adopt strong, comprehensive climate legislation, as well as we were unable to help get to a strong international treaty on climate change. And that's something those of us who work on this issue and I think ultimately all Americans share in the responsibility for.